All right, come on, we doing okay, everybody? Happy to be in church this morning. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Man, I love you guys. I got to be honest with you, I'm feeling just a touch overwhelmed right now after those baptisms and listening to you guys worship. What a powerful moment this morning in church, and it was reminding me of something that I was saying to a few guys this week. I had the opportunity to travel to a conference this week, art conference, with a bunch of pastors and church planters, and y'all, we've planted almost 1,000 churches through the Ark. It's just a pretty, your number 251, it's just a pretty incredible thing to be a part of. But I sat and talked with a lot of pastors, a lot of friends while I was there, and honestly, I felt a little bit convicted after having some of those conversations, because many of them are portable churches, and the schools that they met in or the movie theaters that they met in are still not allowing them to come back and meet. Some have had to really improvise, and I talked to a really good friend whose church was running over 300 people before COVID, and now they've had to rent a little storefront space where they have 100 chairs but no place to put kids, no childcare, no ministry for children, any of that kind of stuff. And I just got real convicted for not being more thankful about where we're at and what God is allowing us to do here in our church. And so would you all help me just for a second? Can we just one more time just thank God for his goodness this morning and just say that we're pretty in a pretty unique situation, and our church has actually grown over the last year, and that's not a normal story either. And so I just want to thank all of you for your heart for Jesus and your passion to worship him and serve him, and excited to get into the message this morning, part three of our Signature of God series. But before we do that, I need you to help me with one thing, well, actually a couple things. I want to first introduce myself. My name is Michael. If you're a first-time guest here, I'm the lead pastor, and I know anytime we have baptisms, we have lots of people that come to see your family get baptized, and I just want to say, if you're here for that, we're thrilled to have you here, and you might have a home church that you go back to, but if you don't, I'm kind of biased. I think this is a pretty good option, and we'd love to have you come back and hang out with us. And I also want to say hello to those of you who are on the other side of the cameras doing church on live stream this morning. So True Life, would you help me welcome guests and everybody who's watching online this morning? We're glad that you're here. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. And before I get into the message, I just want to remind you of a few things. One big one is that in just a couple weeks, we are going back to our pre-pandemic service schedule. We went to 3 services when we started meeting in person because of social distancing requirements. And to be honest with you, it has really stretched our team really thin. It's not healthy in a lot of ways. The amount of time people are serving on a Sunday, never really getting to sit in church or listen to a message. And so we're going to get back to our pre-pandemic schedule on November the 7th, 8:30 and 10. Kids Life will now be available. Just if you're coming on a Sunday, you'll know Kids Life is open. So people won't have to guess which service has Kids Life. We haven't been able to do that in our 8:30, and so both services will have that. So if you normally attend the 11:30, if you're watching online and you sometimes attend the 11:30, just know that on November 7th, that service goes away, at least for the time being, and we'll explore other options as the church grows. And if we run out of room, we'd actually run out of room in our kids' wing prior to COVID. And so I anticipate we'll have to come up with some sort of solution again as the church continues to grow. But for right now, this will give our team a chance to serve at a healthy level. Come on, dream team. Can I hear an amen from you this morning? And so I'm excited about that. And then I wanted to go ahead and tell you something that's coming, because it's one of my favorite parts of the year. It's a lot of work. It's a ton of work. But it is one of my favorite parts of the year. So I just want to go ahead and tell you, on November 21st, At the Movies, we'll be back, everybody. Come on. One of our favorite series here. And if you've never been here for At the Movies, we try to transform this entire building into a movie theater. There's a big screen there hanging over my head that comes down. And we use Hollywood movies to tell biblical truths. That's really what we do. We pull out the redeeming qualities of some movies and use those to share the message each weekend. And it's a lot of fun. And I'm just telling you, this is a bring your friends series, okay? Like, this is where you want to find somebody who doesn't have a church that they're a part of or who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. This is where you bring your friends to church, is during the At the Movies series. So you'll walk in the door and there'll be cold sodas, and the whole lobby will smell of freshly popped popcorn. Come on, how many know that's when you know Jesus is in the house? Right, when you smell fresh popcorn. And so that'll be happening during the At the Movie series. There's so much I want to tell you about that we have planned over the next just 6 months of our church, but I'd be here all day to do that. Today's message is going to kind of just be a little bit of a teaser. It's a little bit of a setup for where we're going to be in a couple weeks in our next series called All That Matters. We're just going to take a couple weeks and kind of remind ourselves why we're here and who we are. And I'm going to share some things with you that you've accomplished as a church that you might not even be aware of, and lives that have been changed, and people that have been reached, and churches that have been planted, and missions organizations that you've been working with, and what they've been able to do, boots on the ground all over the world. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll get into the, at the movies. And then on December 19th, we're going to have a standalone Sunday service right before all of our Christmas services. That's going to be what we're calling Vision Sunday. We've never really done this before. We're going to leverage that Sunday to talk about what where we think God is taking us in 2022. And in the past, we've given you an opportunity to give during the month of December in what we call our legacy offering. And so we've always said, like, hey, the legacy fund is open during the month of December. We're going to do that a little bit different this year, and we're going to be more specific with the date of legacy offering. And so I want to go ahead and just tell you about it now. That's coming up on December 19th. And you say, well, why would you? It's October. Why are you telling me about legacy offering right now? And here's the deal. If you've been at True Life very long, you know I never ask you for money, ever. And I'm not asking you for money now. So the reason I'm telling you about December 19th right now is so you can do two things. Pray. Everybody say pray. And plan. Everybody say plan. So here's what that looks like. Hey, God, my church has legacy offering on December 19th. Do you want me to do anything? And if he says yes, then you say, what do you want me to do? And then you just do whatever he tells you to do. And that's really, literally the only thing I've ever asked you for. It's the only thing I will ever ask you for. We don't do special offering. This is the only special offering we do. We do it once a year. And we use the funds of legacy offering to leverage opportunities to go reach people. So if there's a natural disaster, we'll respond to that. Things like our Easter egg hunt or the Christmas shop, which is coming up, everybody. In fact, if you want to participate in helping us prepare for the Christmas shop, you can pick up a shopping list at the info desk. This is where we transform the entire church into a shopping mall for families who otherwise might not be able to have a good Christmas. And everything is brand new. We do not accept used toys. We do not accept used clothes. And we gift wrap it and we package it and we make sure that those kids are going to have something they're excited about to open on Christmas morning. Come on, True Life, you do that. You do that every year. And so you could pick up a shopping list there if you want to participate in that. But we leverage some of the funds of legacy offering for things like that. Any projects that come up that are outside of our normal operating budget, we would leverage funds from our legacy offering for things like that. And we got lots of stuff. Like, I never run out of vision. We always run out of money before we run out of vision. All right? So here's what I like to say is we have vision. You set the pace. And legacy offering helps us determine the pace by how quickly we get that vision done. So pray and plan. Ask God if you're supposed to participate that day. And on that day, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of information about where we think God is taking us in 2022. We have some big changes coming, some big events planned that we've never done before. We've done them, but we've never done them quite like we're going to do them. And we're going to share all of that with you that weekend. All right, so let me share this passage with you that is kind of the theme passage for this series. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's, everybody say the next word. Masterpiece. All right, come on, 10 a.m. So earlier in the 8:30, I told them all that you guys talk back to me better than they do. And that y'all have understood the more you talk back to me, the faster I preach. So they kind of got with it a little bit. So come on, y'all help me out. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Did you know God had stuff planned for you before there was a you? He had some stuff planned for you before there was a you. And he's always had the resources it takes. He's always had whatever is needed for you to do whatever it is he's made you to do. And so we're going to kind of talk about that this morning, the extra that God has for our lives. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever gotten somewhere and realized that you didn't have what you need? Ever happened to anybody? Anybody else a poor planner? Like me? Come on. I mean, if I'm traveling with my wife, we're going to have everything. Nothing's going to be forgotten because there's checklists. But how many? I don't use no checklist. I ain't got time for no checklist. Right? This actually just happened to me because I went to this conference with a few guys from our church, and y'all, I forgot my glasses. I forgot my watch. We landed in Charleston, South Carolina. We're walking through the airport, and I was like, oh my goodness, you guys, I forgot the wristbands to get into the conference. I don't know how we're going to get in. It's when it's good to have friends. It's when it's good to have friends. They took care of us. I mean, I just, I was at the Philadelphia International Airport to check into our flight. I was at the counter to give him my bag when I realized my wallet's in the truck in the parking lot. I had to go all the way back to the parking lot, get my wallet so I could get on the plane. Come on, anybody ever had a day like that where you show up and you ain't got what you need? You didn't have, or have you ever had somebody else? Maybe you're the perfect planner. Thank God for you. You're so perfect. Come on, anybody ever had somebody else? Maybe you've always got what you need, but have you ever had somebody else show up not having what they're supposed to have? Like you ever had a plumber, like maybe you tell the plumber, you call the plumber and you're like, hey, I need you to come install a new toilet at my house. Come install a new toilet. And then they show up at your house and they come in and they're like, show me. And you're like, right there, I need you to put a new toilet right there. And then they say something like, okay, I just got to run out and get the toilet. I got to go buy the toilet. And you're like, but I literally told you that you were coming here to replace it. Now you got to go buy one? What in the world is going on? Anybody ever had a situation like that where you're like, come on, how can you not have what you're supposed to? Can I tell you something good? Y'all probably know this already, but how many, you know God never shows up not having what he needs? You know, God, in fact, God always shows up with more than he needs. He always has more than enough. He always has more than what's required. Never, ever is God going to show up in your life shorthanded, unprepared, or under-resourced. He always comes with more. Everybody say more. He always comes with more than enough. There's this beautiful story in your Bible, Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. What news? When the chapter right before this, John the Baptist is murdered, his head literally served up on a platter. And so Jesus, he loved John. Jesus gets the news, John is dead. So Jesus is grieving. He's grieving the loss of somebody he loves. He's in pain. He wants to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from all over the place. And Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them. So even in the midst of his own grief, Jesus finds a way to have compassion on people. How many know that's how you know it's Jesus, not me? Like if I'm in grief, that is not the moment where I'm most likely to have compassion. That's proof that he's Jesus. And he has compassion on them and he heals their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. This is one of the things that I find absolutely hilarious in the Bible. If you never laugh when you read the Bible, you are reading it wrong. Y'all, this is Jesus, God, in the flesh. And the disciples feel the need to let him know where they are and what time of day it is. Like, hey, Jesus, I don't know if you know, but we're in the middle of nowhere. Just wanted to make sure you were aware, Jesus. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's a remote place. Also, it's getting late. You're telling the one who put the sun and the stars in the sky what time of day it is. I just find that hilarious. Isn't that funny? Maybe, okay, fine. You don't have to think it's funny. I think it's funny. Also, they're tired of the people. And so they're like, Jesus, send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. And watch what Jesus says about the needs of the people. He says, not necessary. You feed them. Not necessary. You feed them. Which I kind of feel mandated this morning to say to you, True Life. I feel like Jesus is saying to us in this season we're in together as a church, Operation Christmas Child, Christmas Shop, opportunities to serve people. I think he's saying to us, you feed them. You feed them. And of course they say, we can't. We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And Jesus says, bring them here. The disciples are like, okay. Bring them here. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. I mean, can you imagine being a disciple right here? Like, what is he up to? What is he doing? Why is he making them sit down? And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Can I tell you something special happens when you just bring what you have to Jesus and let him bless it? Like, you may not have very much, but you actually have more than enough when Jesus puts his hand on it. Oh, come on, y'all. You have more than enough when Jesus puts his hand on it, right? Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. Remember, he said, it's not necessary, you feed them. And then look what he did. Jesus says, look, I'm the source of the miracle, but you are the system I'm gonna use to distribute the miracle. And it's still that way today. Did you know that? You and I are the system that Jesus wants to use to distribute his miracles on planet Earth. It's you and me. We're how it happens. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. So they ended with more than they started with. About 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. So it could have been as many as 15 or 20,000 people, some scholars say, who were fed that day. That's incredible. Come on, y'all. How many know Jesus always has more? Everybody say more. He always has more than enough. Even what looks like it's not enough, when Jesus puts his hand on it, it's more than enough. And I think to this day, he is asking his followers to be distributors of the more. He wants you and I to distribute the more. I know for some, you're like, well, I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything to offer. And I would just say, yes, you do. Yes, you do. In fact, I want to give you what you should take as your own and make it a, this is a promised verse in the Bible. You might need to hang this on a refrigerator or put it somewhere where you'll see it frequently. Psalm 115, verse 14, the Lord shall, everybody say this word right here, increase you and, all right, come on, so let's try again, come on. The Lord shall increase you and more. Come on, like there's one thing to get more. But then to get some more, come on, y'all know what I'm saying? Like if you're having a nice meal, you might get a little more. But come on, how many know Thanksgiving's just around the corner? You're gonna get more and you're gonna get some more. Like if you do Thanksgiving like we do Thanksgiving, you're gonna buy enough food for about 4 days of eating. You know what I'm talking about? We're gonna eat turkey from Thursday to Sunday. That's how we roll in our house. Because we're gonna get some more and some more. And that's what God has available for us, more and more, you and your children. You are what? Blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. But here's the problem when we start talking about this kind of stuff. There are really two extreme theologies that are prevalent in the Christian world. When you talk about blessing and when you talk about God giving you more, or what I would call the biblical theology of increase. That's really what we're talking about today, is increase. That God wants to increase stuff in your life. But here's the problem. Most people disconnect prosperity from purpose. There is such a thing as biblical prosperity, but biblical prosperity always has purpose. It always has purpose associated with it. So God would like to bless you. He's okay with giving you more. The issue is when we get more and it's about me. It's about my identity. It's about me having more toys. It's about me having others notice what I have. That, come on, how many know that's empty? There's no purpose in that. In fact, where that will actually lead you is pain. When it's about me, prosperity, more, can actually take me to a place of pain when God wants there to be purpose on it. You know what your purpose is an eternal reward. God says there's stuff stored up for you in heaven. There's stuff that you're going to accomplish. That's why I've, legacy offering, I'm not trying to make a pitch for it. I just want you to know my heart towards it. I feel like our job as a church is to be like spiritual investment advisors. Like, I want you to get to heaven one day and have there be more attributed to you than you realized you were responsible for. I want you to be looking around heaven and people being like, hey, thank you. I got saved because of you. I gave my heart to Jesus because of you. And I want you to be like, I don't even know you. And they're going to be like, yeah, you were generous. And your missions dollar turned into a translation of scripture for my people group. And I was able to read the word of God for the very first time because you were generous with the more that you had. And when I read the scriptures, I fell in love with Jesus. Thank you. I'm here because of you. I want to get you the best return on your investment. I feel like that's my job. Y'all tracking with me this morning? I want you to get to heaven and be like, man, I invested well. I want you to have the best return. Come on, how many like it when you log into your retirement fund and you see that your return rate is up? Come on, it feels good when that's happening, right? When the return rate goes up. It's what the more is for. We preached a message on that several years ago. That is what the more is. Most of us in this room actually have more than we need. You may not be wealthy, you may not be rich, but you probably have more than you need. So what is the more for? The more and more. Blessed of the Lord. And I would submit to you that the biblical theology of increase is all throughout your Bible. And so there's these two extremes. One is, I get blessed just for me. I should be able to drive whatever I want, live wherever I want, wear whatever I want. God blesses me to bling me. That's kind of the attitude. That's kind of the mentality. Then there's another extreme which says, no, actually following Jesus means suffering, poverty. There's nothing good for me. I'm supposed to like just stay okay through all of that. And that's my witness. And can I just tell you, like, neither one of those is accurate. This is what we tend to do. We tend to take concepts in scripture and we run to the extremes with them. I can't think of anything else that happens in our world, like maybe politics, but we tend to run to the extreme when actually the truth is somewhere, right, in the middle. This is what the more is for. And when you use the more incorrectly, when the more becomes about me, you set yourself up for pain. Anybody ever had a look at me moment that didn't turn out well? I had a look at me moment that didn't turn out well a couple years ago. Around the corner from our house on the back edge of our neighborhood is a pretty good sized hill, pretty good sized slope. It actually kind of separates our neighborhood from the main road outside. And so in the wintertime, we always hope for at least one snowstorm big enough to take the kids and go sled on the hill. My wife grew up in Florida, so if you're ever wondering who it is that's praying for snow that you should be angry at, it's our house, it's our family, we're the ones doing it. We're not sorry, all right? We're not sorry. We like snow, all right? So we always pray for one snowstorm big enough to take the kids back there and sled. And so a few years ago, we got enough snow, so we took the kids back there, and we're sledding. We've got the assortment of sleds. You know, we've got the saucer sled, the round plastic saucers, and we have a couple of the, you know, I guess, is it like a bobsled? Is that what you would call it? I don't know what it's called. Just the straight, cheap piece of plastic. You know what I'm talking about? It just goes straight. That's all it does. And so we're back there. We're having a good time. We're sledding, and Amanda and I were going down the hill with the kids, and we're videoing and all this stuff. Well, all of a sudden, I thought, I need to take this opportunity to let these children know how cool their dad is. I need to have a little look at me moment, right? Let me show y'all how cool your double XL dad is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I said, look, I'm going to take this sled, this long sled. I'm going to show y'all something. This is how we did it back in my day. I'm going to take this sled and I'm going to ride it down this hill standing up like a snowboard. Watch your dad, children. You're about to be amazed. You're about to be in awe. And come on, I got up on the top of that hill. I don't think I did enough bending at the knees or something. I don't know what, maybe I was too rigid. I'm not sure what happened, but I made it about a third of the way down. And then I'm pretty sure the devil reached up and grabbed the front of the sled and just kind of went like this. And I went the whole rest of the way down the hill, tumbling, rolling. Which when I was like 20, no big deal. Not a problem. At 40, it's a different story, y'all. At 40, you hop up, sure. You act like everything's fine. But then the next morning comes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, it used to not hurt the next morning. Now it hurts for a month. You know what I'm saying? This is what happens when you take something and you say, look at me. That's what I said, kids, look at your dad, look at me. This is gonna be, I'm going to show you how great your dad is. Oh, they were watching. They were watching. I'm good. I'm not good. Come on, when it becomes about me, how many know that sets you up for some pain in your life? It sets you up. And some of us, man, God has brought more into our life, and we've let it go to our heads, and we've started saying, hey, look at me, check it out. And the Bible actually said, pride comes right before what? A fall. You face planted. Some of you are hurting right now because you forgot what the more is for. In fact, some of us are even convinced that it was generosity that's the reason for our pain. It wasn't. You just let your heart get twisted up and become about the wrong thing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a... That's deep, isn't it? You must each decide in your own heart how much to give. I love Paul. I love the way Paul does this. He's like, hey, if you plant a little, you get a little blessing. But if you plant a lot, you get a big blessing. But you decide. You decide. You decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. That's why I told you now about legacy. Because we're not going to have on December 19th, we're not going to put any pressure on you at all. There's going to be no emotional manipulation to try to get anybody. You should already have decided by then. For God loves a person who gives how? Cheerful. It should be fun. In fact, if you give at True Life and it's not fun, stop. Stop. I'm serious. Stop. Go work this out with Jesus. Get your heart straightened out. Then turn that generosity button back on. And God will generously provide all you. You know what the word need means in the Greek? Yeah, it means need. See, where some of us get it messed up is we think that God will provide all that we want. Mm-mm. He said, I'll give you all you need, and I'll give you a little more so that you can do some stuff with the more. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's what the more is for. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Y'all, do you realize, like, your serve at Christmas shop will be remembered forever. Your shoebox will be remembered forever. That's what the more is for. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide an increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So our generosity turns people's hearts to heaven. That's awesome. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. I love that. I love that. We're going to point people to Jesus, and then together we're going to thank God for what he's done. I love that. And there's so much need in our world, right? Like, how do you even begin to have an impact on all of it? It can seem so overwhelming. It can feel like, what can I do? What can I offer? And there's a lady who figured out she could offer something. You might have heard of her. A lady by the name of Mother Teresa, and she said this, I alone cannot change the world. But I can cast a stone across the water to create many ripples. Man, I love that. I love that. You know, you and I can create some ripples. We can create some ripples. We can throw a stone into the water and create some ripples. Some of you this morning, you came early and you put yourself in dream team mode and you greeted at the front door, you serve some coffee. Can I just tell you what you're doing? You're throwing your stone in the water. Thank you. Some of you are going to be generous today in giving, and you're throwing a stone in the water. Thank you. And what I love about the church, the body of Christ, is it's not just now just a little pebble. Anybody ever felt like all you got to throw is a little pebble? I felt that way sometimes. All I got is a little pebble. But when we come together collectively as the body of Christ, come on, I think it starts growing. Now it's not a pebble. Come on, now we got like some big rocks, some boulders that we can make more ripples. We can make bigger waves. We can reach further when we come together with our serve, our generosity, our help. And our ripples can reach further together than any one of us would ever be able to reach by ourselves. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So what I want to do is I just want to wrap up by giving you what I think is a biblical theology of increase, the more, having more in your life. And if you'll do these few things I'm going to share with you, I'm convinced that this will open up the opportunity for God to bring more blessing on your life, but it'll also ensure that you handle it correctly when he does. Because how many know we're going to give account one day? We're going to be held accountable for how we steward this life and our resources. So here's the first one. Just go ahead and make a decision today to put God first. Just go ahead and put God first. Like, none of this works if God isn't first. In the words of the great theologian Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, come on, if you ain't first, you're last. Listen to me. If God's not first, he might as well be last. Because nothing else works if God's not first. Come on, say amen, somebody. He's got to be first. He's got to be first. So just make a decision today. You know what? I do want to create a situation where there can be more in my life. So I've got to put God first. I got to put God first. Number two, go ahead and just decide today I'm going to be a good steward of the more. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to do the best I can with what I have. That's really the legacy of this church. We just decided a while ago, we don't have as much as some other churches have, but we're going to do the best we can with what we have. We're going to steward it well. And today we find ourselves in a situation where we have more than we ever thought we would. It's pretty awesome. But we can't stop stewarding it well. Come on, say amen, somebody. I've learned this. When it comes to stewardship, there's not a lot of gray area. Either you steward or you squander. We tend to do one or the other. Either you steward or you squander. And I want to encourage you today to make a decision in your heart, I'm going to be a good steward. I want to make good decisions with the more in my life. Number three, don't downplay your gift. Don't downplay your gift. Because we're not just talking about money. That's not the only area of our life where God has given us more. Some of us have more talent, right? Some of us have more understanding. Some of us have more knowledge. Some of us have more energy to give. Some of us have more time that we can dedicate to serving other people. Some of us have been given a gift of encouragement. So you're just better at encouraging people than others are. Right? If you find that people walk away discouraged and crying after a conversation with you, probably not the gift of encouragement that you have. Take a break from that one. Go find your gift. We have a system to help you find your gift. It's called LifeTrack. You can make fewer people cry. It'll be awesome. But don't downplay your gift. Thank you, Carlos, thank you for your gift. You make me sound more spiritual during this part of the service every week. Don't downplay your gift. Jesus would love to take what you have, put his hand on it, and turn it into more than you thought possible. That's what he did with the loaves and the fishes. And then finally, go ahead and just decide today, I'm going to live for the more. I'm going to look for opportunities to take my gift, the areas in my life where I have more, and I'm going to give it to somebody who doesn't have it. You know, there's simple ways to do that. That's why we have those acts of kindness cards out there. You say, you just talked about those a couple weeks ago, Michael. Yes, you should know about this time of the year. We're going to talk about those just about every week. Because this is a time of year where we talk about generosity and giving and gifts and all those things, but really, honestly, we're more tempted than ever to get focused on ourselves. So I feel like it's my job to remind you, hey, you have more. Let's do the right things with the more. You should pack a shoebox or two or 10. You should come serve at Christmas Shop and help us love and serve families. You should get into Life Track, find your gift, and get on a dream team. Not because I'm telling you to, but because there's an area of your life where you have more. And God wants to use the more. What are you waiting for? It could be legacy offering. No matter what it is, pray and plan. Pray and plan, pray and plan. There's a guy in your Bible who wanted more. In fact, it often led him to saying things he shouldn't say, putting his foot in his mouth. But a couple times he got it right. In fact, right after the loaves and fishes miracle, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So Jesus is finally going to get some alone time, some quiet time. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Now, I try to imagine what it must have been like to be the disciples, to get on that boat and leave Jesus behind. And I imagine what it would have been like to sit there and talk about what you just witnessed. Like, hey John, like when you broke off a piece of bread, did it like grow back? Like, was your fish doing like weird X-Men mutant growing things in the basket? Cause like, that was crazy. Yeah, man, mine too. I just imagine what it would have been like in this moment. But then all of a sudden, as they're out on the water, they're in trouble, because the Bible says they're far away from land and a strong wind comes up, and so they're fighting heavy waves. So they go from this miracle to feeling like they're fighting for their lives. Come on, has anybody ever felt like that's your life? And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes towards them walking on the water. So this is, we just did the loaves and fishes thing. They're fighting for their life and now Jesus is out strolling. What's up, guys? Having a hard time? You okay? And when the disciples see him on the water, they're freaking out because they think it's a ghost. That's appropriate. We're almost to Halloween. And Jesus speaks to him and he says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. It's me. It can be pretty scary when you have an opportunity to leverage the more in your life. It can feel like there's a lot of winds and waves going on, a lot of different voices to pay attention to. And Jesus just says, hey, it's cool. I'm here. And then I love Peter. He calls out to him, Lord, if it's really you, I want more. That's the attitude of Peter. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walk on the water with you. I want more. Obviously, you've got more. You've got something I don't have yet. I want it. And I love Jesus. He says, all right, come on. Let's go. And so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves and was terrified and began to sink, save me, Lord. Ah! He shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And I think so many times I've read this wrong. Like Jesus was scolding him. Like, Peter, what? Dude, I think Jesus is laughing his head off. I think he's like, come on, Peter, walk towards me. And Peter starts walking. Then he's like, oh, and Jesus is like, come on, man, I got you. Why you doubt me, bro? You were just on the water. I think that's our Jesus. He's like, you're fine. I'm right here. And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped him. And they said, you really are the Son of God. It only takes one person who's willing to get out of the boat and say, hey, I want more. I actually believe this stuff. I actually believe God wants to do something special in my life. It only takes one person doing that for everybody else to recognize who Jesus is and to begin to worship him as Lord and Savior. Peter is the catalyst. Even when his faith wavers, in that moment, his decision, I want more, and I'm willing to take a step of faith and get outside of what's comfortable, results in the whole boat worshiping Jesus for who he really is. I think the church should be a place where there's always more. More grace, more love, more forgiveness, more help, more counseling. But we're gonna have to step out of the boat sometimes, y'all. I wanna tell you one story and then we're gonna wrap up. An amazing story I just heard this week that y'all are a part of. One of our missions partners that we give to, if you give today, a portion of your giving will go to a partner that we work with called One Hope. Their mission is really simple: God's word, every child. So their whole strategy is, how do we get the word of God in front of every child on planet Earth? And they're incredibly good at what they do. In one of the cities over in the Middle East where they have a team on the ground, they're in poor conditions, and sometimes housing bumps up against industrial areas and it can actually be dangerous. And so in this city, there's a little boy who's outside playing. This is a true story. I can't tell you where because it's a closed country. Little boy who went outside, he's playing outside his house, and their neighborhood neighbored an industrial area. And so somehow, some way, he came into contact with some chemicals, and literally, the little boy accidentally set himself on fire. And he began to scream and cry and run, roll on the ground. The father heard his cry for help, came running outside. By the time the father got to the little boy, he was on the ground. The neighbors had come and gathered around. Dad scooped up the little boy, rushed him to the hospital, took him inside. Pulled all his clothes off. They're frantic. They look at him. They're looking him over. Suddenly they realize, head to toe, not a burn anywhere on his body. Completely healthy, completely whole. Dad took the little boy home in awe, confused, told the neighbors he's fine. He says, son, thank the neighbors for helping you, for putting the fire out. He says, Daddy, the neighbors didn't put the fire out. He said, that's crazy. What are you talking about? You need to thank the neighbors for helping you and putting the fire out. He says, Dad, it wasn't them. There was somebody else that put the fire out. The next night, their family got invited to an outreach by that group of missionaries in the city where they show something called the God-Man films. And the God-Man film introduces Jesus. And at one point in the film, they come to the point where Jesus is baptized and comes up out of the water, and he's in radiant in God's glory, and the dove comes down, and in the film, he appears in white. And at that very moment where Jesus in white is appearing on the screen, the little boy jumps up in this crowd of people watching the God-Man film, points at the screams and begins to shout, that's the man, that's the man, that's the man that put the fire out, that's the man that saved me from the fire, the man in white, it was him. The whole family drops to their knees, gives their hearts to Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's what the more is for. And you weren't there, and I wasn't there, but our dollar was there. Our dollar was, you were there for that miracle. God has more. He's asking us to do what we can with the more. Would you stand to your feet all over the room? I've gone a little bit long and I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I told you, for this to work, you got to put God first. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I just want to invite you today to change that. Why would you wait another minute? He loves you. He's got more for you. And if you've never invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, I want to invite you to do that right now. Why would you wait another minute? In fact, just tell him. Let me ask if you're here first. I just want to know. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, Michael, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to put Jesus in charge. Would you just wave a hand at me? I won't call you to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just say, hey, that's me. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life today. I see it. Anybody else? Just real quick, just wave at me. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Maybe you're watching online today. I can't see you waving your hand, but God sees it. And I want to give you a simple prayer to pray. Just say, dear Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I want to put you first. Please forgive me for all the time I've spent doing life my own way. From this day on, my life belongs to you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead 3 days later. And you did it for me. And from this day on, my life is yours. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you say, hey, Michael, I want the more. I want the more. And I want God to use the more in my life. I want to store up treasure in heaven. I want to make eternal investments. I want the more. Would you just raise your hand this morning and say, hey, that's me. I want the more. I want more. I want more. I'm going to get out of the boat when God calls me out of the boat. I want the more. Heavenly Father, you see every hand. More importantly, you see every heart. Many of us already have more. God, would you teach us how to make sure you're first in everything that we have, our time, our energy, our resources. God, would you help us to be good stewards of what we have? God, I pray that none of us would deny our gift. The little things in our life that can become huge blessings when you put your hand on it. Lord, help us to live for the more, for the opportunities to take what you've put in our lives and use it to point people towards you in Jesus' name.